Today's Stripe Show podcast is brought to you by About Golf Simulators. And we're back. Stripe Show. Hold on a second. I got to move my chin guard here so I can talk. Stripe Show podcast. On a Tuesday, I'm your host, Travis Fulton, full costume today. Happy Halloween. We're back. PGA Tour tournament. We've got three to go. Lots of storylines. Our guy's not on site this week. I thought he might be. I mean, down to Mexico. I mean, why not? That'd be a nice little spot to hang out. Little resort course. El Cardinal at Diamante. New course designed by Tiger Woods? Huh?
Yeah.
Keith Stewart joins me on a Tuesday. How you doing, buddy? I got to take the mic because I've got to rearrange my chin strap.
Go ahead. I'll tell you what. I'm impressed that you went full costume. I just went orange and black for the Halloween theme, little tiger theme for the design of the golf course. But hey, man, I got to give it to you. You are the engine, the lifeblood of the Stripe Show pod. And there's nobody could fill those shoes or that helmet quite like you can.
Well, I am the 12th man. You know, that's it. You know, well, actually, I'm not. I'm actually a player wearing a helmet. I got to tell you something. Every time I put on, this is a professional helmet too,
right?
A real helmet, just like the players. Every time I put this helmet on, which is not very often, by the way, but when I do put it on, the first thing that comes to mind is how many times when you're watching a game, a player gets hit and their helmet just pops off. Like they don't take it off. It just pops off their head. I couldn't even imagine right now this helmet popping off my head without me trying to take it off.
There'd be a lot of force involved. a lot of mass and acceleration. I'm telling you.
I thought you'd be like all dressed up today. Like, you know, like maybe like going as like Brooks Koepka or something, or, you know, your boy Adam Svensson or something. I thought you'd be all dressed up. One of your guys.
I mean, I did wear the orange and black, more for Halloween than tiger stripes. You know, Brooks has been growing on me lately. I don't know why. I wasn't a big Brooks guy before 2023, and he's been growing on me. Maybe it was the PGA win, but
yeah, it was probably the Ryder Cup. Probably the Ryder Cup. You know, he was
Ryder Cup. Yeah, but he was mediocre there. In reality, I mean, yeah, he beat up on Ludwig the last day, but like, you know, I don't know. For some reason, he's growing on me. Maybe it was Jenna Sims' swing in full swing. I don't know, her closet.
Maybe I'll give it time. Give it time.
I mean, that was one of the that had to be one of the most iconic scenes in that whole series, which was just okay. I would have given it a B, you know. Yep. But when he's sitting on her swing in her closet and she's pulling out these different things to wear and he's like, you know, exposing his soul, nothing better from a golfer's point of view, you know. Honey, I may never play good again.
I mean, we got to get in the spirit here, Keith, before we turn.
Oh,
we've got to, it's Halloween.
Thriller.
There's one song that comes to mind. I gotta take this thing off here as we get ready.
I can. Oh man. Oh man. Makes me want to hop up.
Right. Had a few things. He had a few things figured out.
Give him like a, it's close to Tuesday. What are the picks on the board? Something like that, you know?
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking from
I think Michael Jackson had a few things figured out, you know? I mean, he's pretty good.
Before he went crazy, he was, some would say, the best ever. You know, super talent.
Yeah.
You know, just a super talent.
Yeah. He just got weird and yeah. Yeah. It's, he didn't have it all figured out on the dance floor. He did, in entertainment he did, but, like a lot of people, like our old quarterback in Seattle that went to Denver, he got weird too. Like Russell, well, people just get weird. I don't get it. Like,
well, how about like, speaking of Denver, how about them playing Shake It Off when they beat the Chiefs this week. That was pretty good.
First but time they beat the Chiefs in what, 17, something like that? 16, 17?
I think it was 2016 or something like that. Wow. Was the last time they won. I think Mahomes was 8-0 against you guys or something like that.
Well, the Broncos, not Seahawks.
Broncos, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Against the Broncos, yeah.
But, you know, Russell's down there, and, you know, we kind of got sidetracked about people getting weird as they got older. Anyway, let's get into Tiger's golf course.
And, get the shit back.
Yeah. And what we might know, El Cardinal at Diamante. Down in the Los Cabos, Mexico. And look, from what I can see and from what some of the conversations that I've been having, this is a resort golf course, big fairways, big greens. Yep. Was texting with Tom Murtaugh, who is a caddy out there for Harry Hall. And he says, yeah, a lot of bulls in the greens. And where the flags are going to be, it's going to be pretty easy putting. You know, so it's like a resort course. The best players in the world are there. The weather looks good. No wind. My goodness. This is, right, we're going low, aren't we?
I'll give you two numbers. Average green size, 8,300 square feet.
Yes.
So that's like double the tour average. And then the second one was average fairway width, 60 yards. Now, The only caveat I could say there is that outside, there is no rough. So outside of that, it's like desert golf. So you're not playing from any sort of turf at that point, but 60 yards wide for these guys. I don't care if it's 8,400 yards, let alone 7,400 yards. You got four par fives. This thing's going to be a birdie fest. You know, everybody's looking to play the AM rounds so they can get to the bar by happy hour. I mean, just celebrate like 6-7 birdies a day. You know, and this has got to be 20 plus under par, you know, and
oh yeah.
And what's the formula for that, right? 72 holes. I need 36 birdie putts inside 25 feet. I make 2/3 of them. I'm 24 under. Thank you very much. Take my trophy, my ticket to the Masters, FedEx points, which are very important because there's only 3 weeks left.
Right. Well, there's only 3 weeks left. That's right. I mean, you got Worldwide Technology. That's this week. And then you got the Butterfield Bermuda Championship next week. And then the RSM Classic just up the road from me. And so there's... And correct me if I'm wrong, because there's a lot of moving parts in professional golf. Things are changing, this and that, we know. But there's really kind of two races here. The first is obviously the top 125, which you want to be in the top 125 come the end of these three events, and that's going to get you your card. And then you've got this secondary thing, which is what they're calling the next 10. And the next 10 is basically from 51 to 60. Which, if you finish it between 51 and 60, then you're eligible for the first three signature events next season. Is that
two,
correct?
I think the next two. Yeah, okay. And it doesn't count the Century, so it'll be Pebble and the Genesis.
Okay,
you'll get into those. Yeah, which is a big deal. But I mean, there's some names here that are outside the top 125. You know,
Cameron Champ.
Cam Champ, 127, Patton Kizzire, you know, the Smother Man, Scott Piercy. I mean, these guys are going to go to, well, they'll have conditional. Russell Knox, Webb Simpson's down here. They'll have conditional status, but, like, what will that mean in a year where about half the events are going to be limited field? So the actual events that the top 125 can get in that you were explaining is going to be about, it's going to be reduced. It's going to be like 2/3 of what they normally could get in. So if you're on that, like 125 to one, I mean, you got to get inside this 125 in the next 3 weeks.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got to make a run, and you got guys like Mav McNeely, Chesson Hadley, Doug Gim, CT Pan, EVR. I mean, they're sitting right there on the borderline and they're all playing, you know, which is fun. You like that.
You mentioned Russell Knox. I actually had lunch with Russell last week. And he's currently 140th right now. And I was like, hey, what do you think? What's next? Well, I got to play the next three. And he looked at me and he said, I got some work to do.
Bermuda.
I got some work to do. And so Russell Knox has got some work to do to get inside that top 125. Got to get that putter. Get that putter going, Russ. Good iron player. Get that putter going a little bit. All right, so there's some storylines there. I like it. You know,
and
I
then
like
you mentioned the top 10, right? 51 mm-hmm. through 60. Bo Hostler is the guy there, right? He's 51. But yep. you got some names in there that would love to stay. Hardy, Griffin, Smalley, JJ mm-hmm. Spawn. I mean, you hear his name a lot today. Luke List, Thomas Dietrich, and then you got the homeless one right outside, Hubbard. You got a guy that won this year, the team event, Davis Riley. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's our boy, Sam Ryder. S.H. Kim. Brandon Wu, that name's the Wu-Tang is going to be enforced today, I'm sure, down in Mexico.
Oh, you know that. I mean, we need 100 birdies, so strike the Wus.
Yeah, Kuchar, Keith Mitchell, Killer Keith right there. Ooh. Come on. Yeah. I mean, these guys are playing this week. So look at that. JT, 72, just sitting there. Hasn't played a lick. He didn't even play in Rome. He was there, but anyway.
All right, Keith, let's get us started. Check this out. You ready?
Oh, wow.
Right?
Here I am.
How about that? Little first click. We're stepping it up here on the I gotta watch that one. I'm gonna lead us off, okay?
All right. Ooh, I love it.
Because I'm in the mood here. So I'm gonna lead us off. First click. I was looking at the board here. And I mean, jeez. Ludwig's going to win this probably by four.
But stop it.
I'm not going to go there. Okay. I'm just not going to go there. Instead, I'm going back to a guy, and we've been talking about him as of late. I got to spend some time with him right when he got out on tour his rookie season.
All right.
He's a Georgia Bulldog, and his name is Davis Thompson. And I liked Davis's game. Right now, he's coming in. You can still get him at 50 to 1, 45 to 1.
Woo.
And here's the deal. Davis Thompson can be dominant with the driver. And the driver's heating up. He's hitting the driver very well. His iron game is heating up. His around the green game is, I think, steadily improving incrementally. His putter's been a little hit and miss. We've seen some good tournaments. We've seen some bad tournaments. What's scary is as of late. Don't ruin my parade here quite yet. He was 35th at the Shriners. He's 16th at Sanderson. He was 30th at Fortinet. Okay, so here's a guy that's starting to get comfortable. All right. Davis Thompson. At least when I got to spend some time with him for the cut, the show on Golf Channel, I kind of got the sense and I was like, man, I really like this kid's game a lot. But he's green, and I think he needs to kind of get out on tour, get his bearings, get comfortable. And I feel like that's what we're starting to see. And so here we are, football season. Georgia's number one. They're going for three in a row. Davis Thompson's getting comfortable. He goes out. He dominates with his driver. He keeps it going with the iron game. I don't think I can suppress the short game this week. It's a resort course. There's no rough. I mean, I can get the ball up and down here.
The greens are on average 8,000 plus square feet.
Right. And we're on past Pelham. I think from what I was told from a couple caddies, like, this is going to be pretty vanilla putting. Davis Thompson has a good putting week getting that winner's circle.
Man. When I was out at the Shriners, I was all over our boy DT. And I followed him. And I think, I don't think he had any family in town. And I think I was the only one following that group. And he kept looking over like, why is this guy following me? And I tell you. It really wasn't because of his putting stroke. Everything else was literally a stripe show. And then like the putting was like, man, oh man, it looked like he was walking around like a blind man with a stick. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I'm with you. We've talked about the evolution of Davis, you know, since I saw him at Wells playing with Wyndham, and there's a ton of things I love to see there. But he's not my first click. Okay. I'm kind of heading in the opposite direction this week. I've been following the seeds. I've been following the rainbow to the pot of gold. And first tournament of the year, Sahith. Right?
Wow.
Right? Then you got what? Tom Kim repeats. Then you had Morikawa and Zozo. right? You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It seems to me like every once in a while, you got to pull yourself out and take a macro view of what's going on. And for me, I feel like there's going to be a little can of red ass in my New York boy after Fred Couples misspoke, right?
Oh.
So I'm going,
oh,
Cameron Young. Boom.
Wow.
That's it. That's it. And I know everyone can say, like, well, of course he should. Of course he should win. He hasn't won yet, right? But I'm drawing a line in the proverbial resort sand down there at Cabo San Lucas. And I'm saying that the driver is, and the ball striking that he showed all summer is going to be the thing. And that the pass palum, much similar to early in Victor's career, where he needed to break through and he couldn't chip and he couldn't putt. He needed that sticky grass. That's easy to chip off of. That's easy to putt. That to me, just seems like for as much as this FedEx Cup fall has been built up to be like, hey, we're going to have these new stars. Who do we have so far? Sahith, Luke List, Tom Kim, Colin Morikawa. Now it's Cam Young.
See, there that surprises me a little, not because of what we know is the pedigree of Cameron Young. Like, we know what he can be. We've seen it. Like, he's finished seventh at the Masters. He's finished second at the Open. He's been there at the Tour Championship and been inside the top 20 and seconds and thirds and more seconds. But we haven't seen the win. And he hasn't played since middle of August.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, every time I pick a player like that, that's the first thing you always bring up to me. Every time.
Yeah.
You're like, well, he hadn't played in a while. I'm like, So Cameron Young's going to show up. Haven't seen him in 2.5 months, and he's going to win this thing? I think he's all right. Okay. I mean, right now, if you go to the board, he's right there with Ludwig. Ludwig's at 9. Cameron's at 14.
Yeah.
I'm going to fade Thigala. That's my top of the board fade, Sahith. I know he won. I get it.
Ooh.
But, you know, look, one thing with Thigala where you could defend here, where you could defend his position is it's going to be a little generous off the tee, which certainly plays into his hand. But his strength is getting the ball up and down and, is it a birdie fest? I don't know. So I think Thigala for me at the top of the board is probably one that I would fade. But gosh, you know, now you're just, you go down four spots and it's Steven Yeager, 25-1. Bo Hostler, 28-1. I mean, these are two guys that have never won on the PGA Tour. Although I've been on Bo and have hit some things with him as of late. I like his game. I like where it's going. I'm probably going to come off of him this week. Is there a fade that you would have, say, in the top half of the board?
You know, so I started thinking about why we don't talk about Steven Yeager more. And I started looking at some of his numbers, and he always makes the cut. He's a great fantasy play, but he just doesn't take that next step. But I don't know. If we're talking about fading the favorites, I don't know if him at 30-1 or whatever it is really that much of a favorite. I know he's like fifth or sixth down the board, so I guess he kind of qualifies as being one. But somebody like him, or all the talk around Akshay, and I agree with you, with short game being mitigated and the putter only being so necessary this week, Sahith would be another one. So those would be three names there I'm just not really connecting with for this golf course under these conditions.
Hack Motion is an innovative wrist analysis sensor and app that measures players' wrist and hand movement in the golf swing. With audio feedback and different drill modes, it offers the capability to improve players' wrist mechanics in the golf swing to provide a better club face control and impact position. Hack Motion can be used for both full swing and putting to cover all golf shots. Hack Motion is used by some of the top golf coaches today around the world. Visit HackMotion.com.
You look at Akshay's recent approach record, not strong. you know, and people are going to point towards Vedanta Vallarta in his showing there on Pass Pal, but like, I don't know. So that's where I am. When you say fade the favorite, that's where I'm going away from at the top.
Steven Yeager's like the LA Chargers. Ooh. You know, like the Chargers have a lot of good players, really good players, at least
really good.
The media shoves it down our throat. Justin Herbert. Hey, Herbert. Hey, guys. Top. Okay.
What's I mean, he's no Geno Smith, but
I'm just saying, like, what's he won? I know. But they don't tout Geno, though. And neither do I. But they tout Herbert, right? And that. Yeah. And so there's Herbert, and then there's, you know, the running game. And then they have
Khalil Mack.
They have Derwin on the back end. Like, they have all these good players. But you know what they don't do? They don't
win.
That's right.
They don't win.
And so Yeager, excellent driver of the ball. Good iron player. Solid short game. Really decent putter. It's all there, but what he hasn't done is hasn't won.
And I think there's a prototype player for this week, and obviously Cam Young epitomizes it in my mind, looking at this golf course, talking to people. Friend in Tiger's design team, you know, this was the first ever course. You know, what is Tiger going to favor as a designer? You know, what does Jack love? He loves fairway bunkers. He loves quadrant greens. He loves, you know, left to right tee shots. I mean, because they're all characteristic. What do Arnie's golf courses have? They're wide open off the tee. They get more narrow as you approach. You know, Donald Ross. I mean, anybody, Tom Fazio, everyone, they can't stay away from themselves at some point, you know. And what will Tiger's course characteristics be over time? Well, he's only got a couple to his credit so far, and this was the first one. And you wonder how much time in 2014, in between all that was going on in his world with his back and everything, he made trips to Diamante, right? Mm-hmm. But if you had to pick one characteristic of Tiger's game that he would try to emphasize in his designs, what would it be?
I mean, when I think of Tiger, I mean, obviously he was great at everything, but when I think of Tiger Woods, I think of iron play.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I just think specifically long iron play, right?
Yeah.
The greatest iron player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So it sounds like there's some long par fours here. And so I would suspect you're probably going to see, but there's no wind. I mean, at all, you would have to think this particular golf course, like they're expecting a certain kind of wind in some defense. But this week, it doesn't look like there's any wind. And so so maybe some of these middle irons that you were expecting might be shorter irons now. I don't know. It's hard to say. It might be fairly damp because of the hurricane that went through. So there's, you know, some of those conditions, I think we'll probably learn a little bit more as we go. But I think of iron game. I think of he wants you to hit irons and work it into certain parts of the green. And he wants you to be able to do that with not just a wedge and a nine, but also with a six and a five, perhaps for some.
Yeah, you've got what, three par threes around 200 yards. You've got four par fives that you can go attack with a long club, with a long swing, right? Got in. Yep. And then you've got, you know, a bunch of par fours that are long, you know, over 460. Yep. So that's the kind of like where I'm at. And I just feel like with the width of the fairways that if you're in that Cam Champ category, you're going to be tough this week. You know, and you have other parts of your game buzzing. So I'm with you on the Davis Thompson thing. As much as he bombs it and his approach game's coming around, if you can figure out the pass Palom, then you're gonna be okay. You know, power is definitely, I mean, 7,400 yards. We kind of throw these numbers around, but like that's like 1,000 yards longer.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, than the average golf course that the person watching this is playing.
I have this pulled up here. I want to go through this list real quick. So I have the driving distance last 24 rounds. Here's some of the longer hitters. So Cameron Champ's one. He has to, he's got to get it moving here. Goddard is in the field. We know he's a
Jersey kid.
Yep. MJ Duffy's in it. He's long. Quest. Peter Quest is long. There's a guy here that I'm gonna save his name for later because he's someone that I'm gonna give you some odds on. So I'm not gonna Ludwig. We know can get it out there. Brent Grant, Taylor Pendrith, Killer Keith. There he is. Will Gordon, Luke List. I know will get some play this week. And then there's Cameron Young.
Cam Young.
So those are some of the guys that are longer. Now if you go to the approach game, right? Because that was my answer to your question. Lucas Glover, Sam Ryder, we talked about. There's Russell Knox. How about it? Last 24 rounds in this field.
Oh, yeah.
Strokes hand approach, Russell Knox. Man.
Check out Cam Champ's got to be up there. Got to be up
there. Ryan Moore, Justin Lauer. There's that guy again that I was going to mention. I'm going to save his name. How about that? My guy. Last 24 rounds, he's on driving distance and strokes gain approach. Woo! Inside the top eight on both of them.
I so want to steal your thunder right now and say his name.
You know who it is, JJ Spahn.
I could read your mind right now.
Hey, Kevin Streelman is not in the field, right? He's not in the field.
No, he
withdrew from COVID.
He withdrew COVID.
Yeah.
It's 2020 all over again. He's out.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, you ready? Here we go. Let's go to buy or sell top 20. Wait for him. I'm not keen on the music. I like the graphics. The music.
Song fits better than the first click. Song yeah, fit.
Exactly. I'll go right with that. Makes me feel like I'm not ready to make money. I don't know. Maybe I have to. First click. I think that's good. I like it. All right. So let's go buy or sell top 20. Bo Hossler, keep it going. He was second at Zozo. Young man's getting comfy. He's looking for his first win. Top 20, buy or sell.
Bye.
Yeah, I think I agree.
I think Bo is 6 months ahead of your Davis Thompson evolution.
Okay.
And I think that Bo has a legit chance this week.
Okay. Well, I was on him to win when he finished second, so
yeah,
I'm sure he will. Buy or sell, Akshay Bhatia, 21st at the Zozo Championship.
I already mentioned him as a guy to fade. I'm selling on him. The ball striking has faded off just a little bit recently with the approach game, and a lot of people are going to be mentioning his name because he played very well in Mexico back in April. But although I do think that's a very strong correlation course. Lengthwise, grass, everything. I don't think Akshay's in his best form right now.
Buy or sell, Homeless Hubbard.
Ooh.
Top 20.
one out of the top 10 for signature events. The approach game is awesome.
Yeah, it's a good week. Yep.
Top 20. No, sell.
Okay. 31st at the Zozo.
I think he needs a little more power.
Yeah, I put a lot of thought, probably more than I needed on that one, and I came down. That's kind of where I was leaning a little bit. I think I'm going to sell. Now, speaking of power, Keith Mitchell, excellent driver of the ball, buy or sell top 20. Maybe it's a Bulldog Quinella. Maybe it's Davis Thompson, Keith Mitchell.
Could be, you know, win play show. I mean, I just feel like if the scoring potential isn't there, then there's got to be some power. And if you're talking about top 20s, there's, you know, you start thinking, okay, who are the 20 guys in the field that you feel like are in the top 20? And then, you know, Hubbard just doesn't, with other places, yes, I get it. But like for this one, it just doesn't seem to match up. And, but it does for me for Killer Keith.
How about Adam Svensson? You've been on him. He's had three top 20s. No, he's had four top 20s in his last seven events. 41st at the Zozo. Did the air come out of the sail there a little bit at the Zozo? Because up to that, it was three straight top 20s. Does he get back on the horse here?
No, I'll sell.
Okay.
I'll sell.
Who am I missing right now inside there that you think's worth a look? I was looking at Herbert a little bit. I mean, Herbert, he's at 45-1. I mean, Luke List seems logical, doesn't he? Top 20, the way he's been playing.
Definitely seems logical. You know, JJ, if you look at the ball striking, really, really good.
I got you to come around on JJ.
Yeah, I mean, the ball striking's there. It's the, it's, you know, it's the putting.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that guy, he's a great long iron player, great, great fairway wood player. I mean, I've watched him a little bit this season after you had mentioned him to me. This was like back in, golly, when did you bring him up? It was like June or something. And I got out there and I watched him one day hit some balls and I was like, God damn. I was like,
yeah,
he's got like, he, like Travis has a great, I hadn't really spent the time to watch it. And then I saw him and I caught him in a practice session and he was getting into the longer clubs. And I was like, man, this guy's impressive, you know? So, I mean, from a ball striking perspective, if you're, if we're talking about like, there's two no putt guys there, Spawn and List. I like List over Spawn, but man, they're comparable. And they're the type of guys this week that could definitely be top 20 guys that won't threaten to win, but they, you'd feel good about buying them for top 20s.
Well, I brought up Spawn last week or 2 weeks ago for the Zozo and said, look, I'm willing to look past minus six at Shriners. He's hitting the ball great. And so I bet him in the top 20 and he finished sixth. And so he putted much better. Spawn's interesting, you know, like I find myself hanging on a little too much to, okay, great ball striker, need a good putting week. Sometimes I get a little too hung up there, but I do feel like Spawn hits it obviously well enough. And you look at his stats over the last 24 rounds. I mean, approach in this field, he's eighth off the tee, strokes gained off the tee, he's 21st.
Yeah.
You know, he's in the upper quarter of this field in birdies. He gets a lot of looks. But he's 118th in putting. So it's like, it's just, you know, there you go, right? And so like I look at this event and I'm like, okay, this is a resort course. And so you know it's gonna be kind of vanilla for the PGA Tour player. It just is.
Yeah.
Is it gonna be vanilla enough with the greens, easy to putt, where you get a player like Spawn that, you know, kind of propels him ahead a little bit? I'm going to buy him for top 20 again. I'm playing on house money, so of course I'm going to buy him for a top 20. I mean, I got him six last week. All right, middle of the board. I'm going to let you drive here. Middle of the board here. Now we're starting to get down into Taylor Montgomery, 65, Putnam, got her up, I'll pass. Gim, I'll pass. Do you know the name I'm going to mention? Middle of the board that I passed up on?
I wrote
on
it down. I just wrote it down in front of me.
Are you going to put it in front of the camera up like that guy does on ESPN? Have you been watching that magician that's been working with these teams? It's an absolute... So you're going to do it right now. You're going to tell America right now what's in my mind.
I think I know, because when you start talking about the ball striking part of it and his length, and
who is it? He did it. He's just like that guy on ESPN that can read my mind.
That I knew.
Caleb Tarasi. That guy's got nothing. He's got nothing.
I'm just saying.
That's my boy. You know, that's my boy. I'm going in. Got him at 75-1. 31st at Zozo, 23rd at Shriners. He's long. His iron game is crisp. He can putt. And he's hungry right now. I think, you know, look, this is a good course for him. It really is. This is a good course for Caleb Tarum. Sign me up. That's my middle of the board. Some would look at it as a long shot at 75. You agree or disagree?
So, I mean, he catches my attention. And the reason he catches my attention, because my guy in the middle that I like this week also had success at a place called Detroit Golf Club, which I feel like this week is like a bombers, like a bomb and gouge sort of thing, right? It's like people are going to bomb away and then they're going to get hot with the putter. And that's kind of going to be the modus operandi, right? And that was one thing that Tarim did when he caught kind of people's attention, is that he was going to those types of golf courses on the PGA Tour and he was showing up, right? And at 55-1, I'm a big fan of a guy that I watched personally at the President's Cup 2 years ago, Canadian. And there are a few guys that hit it as far as he does, but the ball striking has been good lately, and that's Taylor Pendrith. And the approach game, he's not the world's greatest putter, but I think that we've talked enough about how Paspalum is going to mitigate that a little bit. At least we hope it is. And for all the reasons you love Callum Tarrant, I love Taylor Pendrith, and they're very similar players. I would say, you know, Taylor's probably 15% longer, but I would say Callum is probably just a little bit more accurate. And I think they're both great plays. But in the middle tier, if you ask me to pick a name, Taylor's who I'm going with.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think I like Tarim a little bit better, but I like Pendrith too. Pendrith is kind of a goofy player, isn't he? He's just, I don't know. Like, it's hard to wrap my mind around.
I think that there's an opportunity. He's very good with the long clubs. And I think that you're going to have, there's two double par fours, there's four par fives, and then there's like six par fours over 460. So in that scenario with 60 yard wide fairways, this guy is going to be hitting like 8 irons in when other guys are hitting in 6 irons. And yes, he's going to have to hit his quadrants on the greens, but I just think that he can get involved in a speedboat race. A la somebody like, you know, you were going nuts about Callum Tarrant being on both those lists, approach and driving distance, right? But Cam Champ's on that list too right now because of his recent play. And that's a guy that can definitely go nuclear at this place.
Yep.
And we would be like, well, at least we talked about him a week ago, right? I mean, it's like, but all of these guys, for me, I've got a certain profile I'm going with this week as the mentalist. And that's kind of where I'm at right there.
I'm going to sprinkle a little on Cam Champ again, just because I feel like I have to, because we have talked him up as of late. So I think I need to go to the well a little bit more. You know, another name, look, Vincent Whaley finally, I think, has got his game turned around. He's playing his best golf of the year right now, no doubt.
So,
I mean, he had,
interesting report on Whaley. Okay. Yep. So he was working with a friend of his in Georgia. He lives in Georgia, practices at a golf club in Georgia. I have a student that plays a bunch with him, practices out of there, who I was with last week in Alabama at First Stage. And Vince, incredibly long, fantastic ball striker, had not been putting the time and effort that he wanted in with his short game and his putting. So he had used a coach at the golf club of Georgia. Then he went back to his childhood coach out there in Dallas, and he's been flying out to Dallas to see him. Vince has had some very nice tournaments this fall for a guy that, I mean, he's turning into like a little bit of a Steven Yeager. Like, he's not threatening to win, but he's been very solid.
Yeah.
And his power at this place, and if some of the putting work that he's been really intense about lately comes through, he's definitely a guy I would buy on for a top 20.
Yeah, I would too. No, there's no question. I mean, you go back to middle of 21? Yeah, middle of 21. I mean, he was making a ton of cuts, finishing, you know, top 25, top 30. It seemed like every single week. You know, at the start of this year, you go into the season missing your first four cuts, five of your first six. Make the cut a couple times and you miss a few more. You know, he's just been kicking it down the road. I mean, just not playing good golf at all. I think his driver was a mess earlier in the year. His iron game was not clean. It's funny you said that about his short game and his putting, because to me it was his ball striking really that was kind of the problem. And now his driver, he's figured it out. He's driving the ball well. His iron game is coming along nicely last three tournaments. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, his short game and putting certainly checks out. So I think for some odds here, as we start getting into the weeds, yeah, top 20. I'll probably sprinkle a little on Champ to win, and then Vincent Whaley top 20. And who knows? You know what? Just for the record, I'll probably sprinkle a little on Vincent Whaley to win too, just because, you know, it's Halloween. I want to, you know, a little more candy. All right.
If I was going to dress up as anybody for Halloween today, it would have been the Wu-Tang Clan. Because I'm telling you, with all due respect to Vince Whaley and that nice little soliloquy I gave you, if you're not on Brandon Wu this week, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we gotta talk about my man. I mean, if Victor has gone next level and is no longer the Prince of Paspalum, then I think certainly Brandon Wu, and I'm trying to figure it out, and you're digging into this, right? So going into Mexico last year, he's terrible. Goes to Mexico, finishes top three, right? This year, going into Mexico, he's horrible, right? Goes in, finishes top two, or the reverse of that, or something like that. He's got two top seven finishes in Puerto Rico. I mean, all these golf courses are very similar to one another. They're long resort courses that are wide open with Paspalum grass, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy, I mean, he gained, what, like 15 strokes this past year at
Mexico.
Vidanta Vallarta, right?
Yep.
And then gained like 13 strokes the year before. He's gained double digit strokes total at both times he's played in Puerto Rico. Something about this guy going to resorts, you got to give him some credit, because I mean, he's getting the job done and he hasn't had a fantastic fall, but I mean, how do you argue with going to four different resort places with very similar types of conditions, and the guy gets comfortable I mean, we're not talking about top 20 in here and like buy or sell. This guy's, he's got four top seven finishes in those circumstances.
Yep.
I don't know.
What? In Mexico, Mexico, where he finished third, he was 19 under. Rahm was 21 and Tony Finau was 24.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Cameron Champ was in the top eight that week too. So,
yeah,
you start kind of doing some comps here on different courses, and yeah, I think I had Brandon Wu circled too. I think he is a really good play. He's right now at 80 to 1. It looks like
80. Yeah,
80 to 1. Yeah, I'm curious. Opportunities gain, which is a cool stat in Fantasy National. God, last 24 rounds, Russell Knox first. Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. I mean, think about that. Last 24 rounds, Russell Knox is better than Ludwig Åberg in opportunities gain.
Yeah, not in opportunities catching.
No.
Unfortunately.
No, because then you go to birdies. Ludwig is second on that list, and Russell's 87. So,
not even close.
Yeah, wow. Right. Chris Kirk gets a lot of looks. Calum Tarum, dare I say, is fifth on that list. Brandon Wu is also fifth on that list. So that's where I was going to help you pay that off. He's going to get a lot of looks. And Wu in birdies last 24 rounds, he's kind of slowed down a little. He's 90th. Excellent iron player. Is obviously upper. Driver and irons, he is in the top 25 in this field for sure. He's going to get a ton of looks.
Yep.
Can he make enough birdies? That's what it comes down to. Man, that's Calum Tarum. I just might have to put the house on him. Every time I pull up another list, there he is. How is Sam Ryder 90 to 1?
Have you
Sam
noticed?
Ryder's one of the best iron players in the field.
Well, there's.
That doesn't make sense to me. 90 to 1. Wow. I mean, Sam Ryder 90, Vincent Whaley's 90. Come on, Peter Quest 90. Sam Ryder is in the same category as those two. No, he's not.
So we like Sanderson. We liked him at the Sanderson Farms. He had a great first round. He finished 51st. Right.
Yeah.
The Shriners, he finishes 28th. Then you go to the Zozo. Mind you, there's 78 players in the Zozo, and he finished 64th. Which part of that is awe-inspiring to you about Sam Ryder? You know, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, don't just look at the numbers, right? PSA to everyone at home. Okay, so, you know, Halloween, check your kids' candy. Second thing is, don't just look at the numbers. Somehow the performances have to match up.
Yeah.
You know, and how many times this year have you and I got on guys that just don't, it's like the Steven Yeager phenomenon, you know, it's like a Yeager bomb. You feel like, oh, on Thursday when he's first round leader, you're like, woohoo, Starrin Rye. Oh my God. Yeah. And then the guy's, you know, 48th every Sunday and you don't even get a top 40 out of him,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I don't know, Sam,
go ahead.
No, just Sam Ryder. He just, you know,
plus, yeah. No, I'm not going to play him. I just find it. I think that's a little far down the board for me, for Sam, but I'm not going to play him this week. Let's finish with this. You know, these stats, we've been going through opportunities gained, birdies, obviously is going to be a key stat this week. We've been looking at driving distance. We've been giving you some guys there. We're leaning in on, hey, distance is going to play here a factor. Like let's have some length. Obviously the iron game we talked about, Tiger's design, what might we see, middle iron play. Yeah, I think around the green, you can push down a little bit. I do think the putting relative to PGA Tour standards, I think it could be pretty vanilla this week. I do. Pass Palom, level the playing field a little bit. So that's kind of where we've been leaning. But look, if we had to pick a putter, if we had to give the audience one last kind of thought here and say, hey, all right, here's one of the best putters that's playing that maybe take a look. It's amazing how different this list is. I'm going to read through this a little bit. Okay. Huh. It's amazing. Like Lucas Herbert.
Yeah.
Sahith Theegala, Taylor Montgomery. Nobody, you know, this is no surprise. Aaron Baddeley, Chesson Hadley, Harry Hull, Brian Gay, Peter Malnati, Brant Snedeker. Anybody have excited to you yet? If I had to pick someone there, obviously Sahith is the class, I think, within that group. But if I had to go off the beating path, I would go Harry. Not to win, but just, you know, I think Harry actually in Mexico finished in the top 10 as well in that tournament. I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, Oberg's 14th on that list.
When we keep going here, Snedeker, Hardy, Andrew Landry, Thomas Dietrich. There's Aberg. God, is this kid good or what? Peter Quick. Yeah. There's Bo Hossler, 16. Cameron Young, 17. Yeah. So now we're starting to get into a couple names that we mentioned, but it's amazing how far down the list we had to go.
Yeah. I mean, Bo Hossler, it really kind of the names you of all of those.
Aberg, obviously, but.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this place with his driver, I mean, how much would you love when the pairings, I mean, they probably already came out today, but when the pairings come out, if you had like a, you know, Oberg, Champ, and like Cam Young group,
mm-hmm.
right? And just stand, like, I get on the first par five tee box and just sit back there and watch, right?
Yep.
Watch these guys just go, like, because, you know, I say what you want. They don't look at each other. Like they're that's a driving contest 14 times that day,
mm-hmm.
for sure. You know, like who can hit it the absolute hardest? And that would be fun to watch. You know,
I'll throw one last long shot out there for you that I think's playing well, not long. He's getting the putter going. And that's Chad Ramey. Not to win, top 20. I think Ramey's playing some pretty good golf. Long shot. What's he at? Do you have it right there? It just went off my
Chad.
Screen. Chad Ramey's got to be, what, 100 and... I just lost it on my computer. Nothing's worked. My mic fell. My computer's not working. It's Halloween. It is literally... There's a ghost in here right now. I mean,
I'm not kidding.
It's like there's weird things happening in here, right? Look at me. I'm holding my mic. You ever see me do this?
No, but
watch, I'm gonna have this ghost hold it. Watch. What? I'm gonna take my. Oh, he's not. He's not there. Yeah. Chad Ramey.
Kelly Kraft, top 40.
Kelly Kraft.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close.
Stripe Show.
Creatures
Tuesday. Those are picks.
Of blood.
Back later.
Hey, by the way.
What's that?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Two weeks. Keith Stewart. Come on. In studio right here. RSM Classic. We'll be back next week for Bermuda. Thanks for being here. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Be safe, everybody.